Good King Wenceslas. It was midnight on Christmas Eve, and Wenceslas was, as usual, very busy wrapping presents for everyone in the castle. There were silk stockings and silver skates for his dear queen, a very difficult jigsaw for Albert his page, penknives, nuts and marzipan for the footman, and china ornaments and talcum powder for the cooks and undercooks. And everyone had a tangerine each. When he had finished, the king barely had enough time to tiptoe around the castle, hanging a stocking at the end of each bed, before the whole castle was suddenly awake. So as soon as Wenceslas had tumbled into bed, the queen, page, footmen, cooks and undercooks tore open their parcels, scattering string and paper everywhere, trying on stockings, munching marzipan and arranging ornaments. What a to-do there was in the kitchen! A banging and chopping and scraping and basting of spinach and roast potatoes, plum pudding, cream caramel and lime jelly, guinea fowl, turkey and swordfish. Albert the page, having nothing much to do while the king slept, was busy tasting each dish and looking forward to his Christmas dinner. Meanwhile, Wenceslas snored on and on. He was so exhausted with the night's work. The queen came in, kissed him, and gave him a pair of slippers embroidered with his initials. The king mumbled, "Charming, my dear," and went back to sleep again. Albert, tiring of his hard work in the kitchen, came in and gave him a goldfish he had won at the summer fair. Wenceslas murmured, "Delightful, my boy," and went back to sleep again. He slept on, while the queen, the page, the court, and guests from far and wide ate their sumptuous Christmas dinner. Glasses were filled and refilled, crackers pulled, and balloons popped. Then the court orchestra struck up and the entertainment started. Six important guests from Italy performed a juggling act while standing in a human pyramid. The King of France, rather unexpectedly, danced the tango with his pet bear. And a druid from Wales recited a long poem. This made everyone feel suddenly very weary, and the singing, laughter, and shrieks of excitement died away. The whole party nodded quietly in their seats, the candles flickering low as the evening went on, and darkness fell outside, where silent snow had already fallen. Wenceslas, meanwhile, woke up refreshed and full of energy. He stretched, jumped out of bed, and pushed his feet into his new slippers. Walking over to his bedroom window, he leant out, sniffing the frosty air with pleasure. Down below, he spied an old man collecting firewood. "I wonder who that can be, wandering about outside on a night like this," thought Wenceslas. And he went to look for Albert, who, with the queen and all the guests, was still snoozing peacefully in the dining hall. Wenceslas shook his page gently by the shoulder. "Wake up, my boy. I need your help," he whispered. Albert rubbed his eyes, yawning and protesting. "Oh, sire, I've eaten too much. I feel so sleepy." "Come, my boy, we've got work to do. But first, tell me, do you know who that old man might be I've just seen collecting firewood outside the castle?"
"Oh, yes, sire. That's an old man who lives miles away at the bottom of the mountain. He often comes over here collecting firewood." "Well, now, fetch me as many pine logs as you can carry."
Albert disappeared, and Wenceslas went round the table, filling a basket with chunks of meat and decanters of wine. When the page returned, staggering under a pile of logs, Wenceslas said, "Now, put on your warmest cloak. We're off to visit our friend at the bottom of the mountain and give him a surprise."
"But, sire, it's freezing outside."
Wenceslas silenced him with a mild frown. "Just remember, not everyone has had the splendid Christmas that you have, or has a warm castle to live in." And off they tramped in the snow. Wenceslas carried the logs, and Albert followed behind with the basket of food. They put it all down at the old man's door. "There," said Wenceslas. "Now at least he'll have a bit of Christmas dinner and enough wood to last a few days." Then they retraced their footsteps to the castle, Albert still following behind. As he walked, he felt the strangest thing. He did not know if it was because of all the food and wine he had had, but as he followed in his master's footsteps, his body tingled all over with warmth, as though it was the finest summer's day. "I wonder if anyone would believe me if I told them. Nah, they'd probably laugh at me. I think I'll just keep it to myself." And Albert snuggled up contentedly inside his cloak as the lights of the castle came into view.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
"Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou knowest it telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling?"
"Sir, he lives a godly hence, underneath a mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Fountain.
Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear them thither."
Page and monarch, forth they went together, through the rude winds wild lament and the bitter
find the wind.